Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi Shabbos Daf Tzadik Beis. We're on Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis, 5 lines from the bottom. We're in the middle of our machlokes between Chizkiah and Rav Yochanan in the case where a person carries out a kli full of mustard seeds. Now, the kli is partially in Shisarabim and partially in Shisayachid, according to Chizkiah. We ignore the fact that the kli is partially inside. We focus on the content of the kli. And if the mustard seeds, which are found on the outside portion of the kli, are entirely in Shisarabim, that is considered to be Irish Shisarabim. According to Rav Yochanan, it is the kli, it is the container that determines the status and location of its content. And therefore, in this kli, since the kli is still partially inside, that determines the status and location of the content, and we view the entire content, all the mustard seeds, as though they're still in Shisayachid, and there was no Maisa of Itzah done here. Continues the Gemara, we're going to ask Akasha, Rav Yochanan, who maintains that Eged Kli, the fact that the Kli is still bound up, it's still tied up within, it's still partially inside, Shmei Eged, that is considered to be bound up even regarding its content. Says the Gemara, 5 lines from the bottom. Masiv Rabbi Barabai. The Braisa says that Goinev Kis B'Shabbos Chayiv. So, just give a small introduction here. There's a halacha of Kimlei B'Derav Minei. If a person would commit 2 Isurim through one act, through one Maisa, he's only liable on the more stringent Einish, the more stringent punishment. For instance, if he did a Maisa Geneva with a Malach on Shabbos simultaneously, he is Pater for the Chiyiv Mammon, for the financial monetary liability. He's only responsible for the Chiyiv Misa of Shabbos, the capital punishment liability. So this is the halacha of Kimlei B'Derav Minei. If 2 Isurim happen simultaneously, we give him the Oinish, which is more stringent. Says the Braisa, HaGoinev Kis B'Shabbos, if one steals a pouch, a money pouch, on Shabbos, so he does 2 Isurim. Number 1, Isur Gneva stealing. Number 2, when he carries it out, Shisurabim, he did a Malach HaBeitzah. Says the Braisa, Chayev. He will be chayv to pay back the money. He's liable even for the dini mamonis, for the monetary liability here. Why? Shekvar nischayv b'gneva, because he became liable for the gneva. Koidim sheyavo de'is haShabbos, because when he lifted this pouch off the ground, he did a ma'isa, a kinyan of hagbah. He acquired possession of the pouch by lifting it, even when he was still standing in the homeowner's property. So at that point, he did the isa gneva, and he's chayv for that. Later on, when he carries it out, that is when the Melach HaVitzah takes place. That's only after the Chiyuv Gneva. So in this case, surely, he is liable on both accounts, on the Issa Shabbos and the Issa Gneva. However, if he chose to be kinder, to acquire possession, by dragging the pouch outside into Sarabim, so he didn't lift it off the ground, he didn't do a Kinyan of Hakbah, rather he opted for the Kinyan Meshicha. In this case, as the Braisa Pater, he is Pater, because both things happen at the same moment. As soon as it reaches Rishis Rabim, he drags it and drags it out of Rishis Rabim. At that point, 2 things happen. There's a Melach HaVitzah and the Isser and the Kinyan of Gneva. Sharei, since Isser of Gneva, the Isser Shabbos, Boin Ke'echot, to both happening simultaneously. Therefore, he's Pater on the Gneva, since he incurs liability on the more stringent punishment, the capital punishment, the Chiv Misa, due to the Isser of Melach HaVitzah on Shabbos. Says the Gemara, let's analyze. Now, if you maintain that Eged Kli, Shmei Eged, that the fact that the Kli is partially bound inside, that is considered to be bound even regarding its content, says the Gemara, Kadim Le'isa Gneva Le'isa Shabbos. In this case, when he drags the pouch outside, as soon as part of the kiss, part of the pouch, is found in Shisarabim, at that point, he has done Issa Gneva. He has been kaina, the Kinyan Geneva. Why? Because since he has access to the money, the coins which are already on the outside portion of this kiss, already sitting in Shisarabim, even though the actual kiss, the pouch, is still partially bound up within, it's still partially in Shisayachin. So there's no Malach HaVitzah, according to Rav Yochanan. But when it comes to Geneva, he committed Geneva because he has full access to those coins which are on the outside part of this kiss, which are found actually in Shisarabim itself. Says the Gemara, if so, in this case, Kadam le Issa Geneva le Issa Shabbos. Issa Geneva precedes Issa Shabbos, which only takes place later, when the pouch is entirely brought out. Says the Gemara, Ida Afka derech piv. So if he's dragging it out by way of its mouth first, opening first, Hachinami, surely you're right, certainly in this case, you're making a point that since he drags out the partially dragging it out, part of the kli, part of the kiss, is already outside, and the coins which are on the outside part of this kiss, which are inshus rabim, are fully accessible to him. He can simply open up the piv, the opening, the mouth of this pouch, and access those coins. He has committed isur geneva. He was koinah b'kinyani geneva, and therefore geneva comes first. Hachav ma'askin, and how we're speaking about the afkid derech shulav. He dragged it out bottom first, so he drags out the bottom of the pouch first. Therefore, even when the coins are actually found in rishus rabim physically, since he doesn't have access to them until he actually drags out the entire pouch and then can open the mouth and reach the coins, therefore he has not done geneva until he actually carries out the entire pouch, in which case both yisurim, geneva and Shabbos, will be happening simultaneously. Says the Gemara, but even when he carries it out bottom first, ve'ikamakam chelma, there are the seams, meaning the boy mafkele, he can simply rip open one of those seams, v'shakal, and take out the coins. So even when it's bottom first, he has full access to those coins by simply ripping open, opening up the seams of this pouch, thereby giving him full access and possession of those coins, and therefore he's doing a ma'aseh geneva prior to the malach of etzo, which only takes place later when the entire pouch is found outside. The boy mafkele v'shakal, says the Gemara ben Nascha. We're speaking about long sticks of silver. Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi on top, the first line, Benascha shein chatichas aruchos, long pieces, for instance, of silver. Now, when we speak about long sticks, certainly there's no acquisition until the entire stick is completely outside. So even when, in terms of kinyan gzeilav, Issa Geneva, has not done anything, he has not acquired possession, because if these long sticks are still partially inside the homeowner's property, he has not done any Issa Geneva here, because it's still within the property of the Baal HaBayis. He has not really acquired possession of it. So in this case, certainly, the only way the Issa Geneva will happen is if the entire stick is outside. Therefore, we understand very well, that Halacha in the Braisa, that when the entire pouch is outside, at that point, the Geneva and Shabbos happen together simultaneously, and therefore, there's no liability on the Geneva, because he is given the most stringent punishment on account of Isser Shabbos. Says for 1 second, the Kivan, the Ikan Shnatzin, since we still have these drawstrings which are attached to near the mouth of the pouch. So since we have these Shnatzin, Mapikli Atume, perhaps he's going to drag the pouch. Let's say it's bottom first. So he drags it and drags it until he gets to the pum, to the opening of the pouch. At that point, while the drawstrings are still in the Rishus HaYachid, he already has full access to the nascha, to the long sticks, because he opens the opening of the pouch and can access the money and this precious metal. But the strings are still in Rishus HaYachid. There's no Itzal Shabbos because the kli is still partially inside. So here as well, says the Gemara, Geneva will come first. Once again, the Kiv and the Ika Shnatz, since we have those Shnatz and those drawstrings, Mapakli Apume, he will drag the pouch until the opening is found outside of Shisrabim, Vishari, and open the opening, Vishakil, and he can remove the content, Vishnatzin Agidim Megavoi, but the drawstrings are still bound within, meaning it's still lagging behind. They're still in Shisayachim Megavoi. And in that case, the kli, since it's not fully outside, there's no Hitzos Shabbos, because Eged kli, the fact that the kli is still bound partially within, that affects the Malach of Shabbos. And in this case as well, the Isser Geneva will come first. So why does the Braisa tell us that by dragging the pouch, he is Pater? Why is he Pater? Geneva will come before Shabbos. So that's about the Lekish Shnatzim we're speaking about. There are no drawstrings. So, in which case, when he drags the entire pouch outside until its mouth, everything has come along, there's nothing remaining behind. And Shabbos and Gneva happen simultaneously, and therefore he's potter. Or, if you prefer, we will say the Islay. Certainly this pouch has these drawstrings, but the strings are wrapped on the pouch itself, and they don't lag behind, they don't drag behind. So if one once he removes the entire pouch, the drawstrings has come along, and therefore there's nothing left behind, there's no egged kli. And therefore Shabbos and Geneva both happen at the same time, simultaneously, and therefore he's potter on Geneva, since the most stringent einish of Shabbos will be applied to him. So in summary, when one is goinev a kiss for Shabbos, so it depends what type of kinyan he decides to use. If he opts for the kinyan hakbar by lifting it off the ground, he is chayv on geneva, because the chayv geneva takes place in the Rosh Hashayachet prior to the itzah of Shabbos. What if he decides to use kinyan meshicha, he drags the pouch and wishes to acquire possession in that manner? He is potter, because the kinyan of Geneva, the Isser of Geneva, will take place simultaneous with the Isser of Melachas HaMitzah v'Shabbos. Now we have two ways of interpreting this halacha. According to Chizkiah, who chooses to focus on the content of the pouch, then this halacha will be speaking about a case where the pouch is full of coins. Now the coins, which are actually found on the outer portion of this pouch, which are sitting in Shesurabim, this halacha pertains to those coins. He's kind of those coins. He does the melacha v'itzah on those coins, even though the pouch is still partially inside. So since the gneva and the itzah of Shabbos take place simultaneously on those coins, he is potter, because we apply the most stringent einish, which is for Shabbos, and therefore he is exempt from the monetary liability from the chiyuv of gneva. Kutcher of Yoicha, on the other hand, was speaking about a pouch which contains nascha, these long sticks, and it's only when he actually pulls out the entire pouch in the Shesurabim that this halacha will be applicable. So at that point, both things happen at once. The Chiv Gneva and the Chiv Shabbos, and therefore he's potter on the Gneva and he's Chayev on the Shabbos. Continues the Gemara. V'chein Amar Rava. Rava also interpreted our Mishnah the same way Chizkiah did. The Mishnah tells us that if he's carrying out the basket, which contains produce, contains peris, he's only chayiv until he is moitzi kol hakupa, until he actually carries out the entire basket. Says Rava, v'chein amar Rava, lo yishanu. This term, this halacha, only pertains ella bekupa melei kishun edloim, only a container which is full of kishun, cucumbers with loim and gourds, melons. In which case, the part of the produce, part of the item of this cucumber is still inside, unless he carries out the entire basket, and therefore he's potter until he carries out the entire kupa. Avo malei chardal, but if this basket contains mustard seeds, chayav, he is chayav even on account of carrying out a part of the basket, because we focus on the content of the basket. So since this particular mustard seed is sitting on the outside, in Rosh Hashanah, he is chayiv, regardless of the fact that the kupa, the basket, is still partially inside. Alma kasava, apparently he holds, eged kli, the fact that the kli is still bound up inside, lo yishmei eged, and doesn't affect the content. Abaya amar, no, we focus on the kli, on the container. In accordance to Rav Yochanan Shita, afilu milei chardol potter, even if it's full of mustard seeds, he's potter, until the entire basket is outside. Alma kasava, apparently Abaya holds, eged kli, Shmei Eged, we focus on the Kli, and the fact that the Kli is still bound up, it's still partially in Shusha Yachid, that affects the content, affects the status, and determines the location of the content found therein. Continues the Gemara, Come Abaye, Peshitze the Rava. Abaye adopted the view of Rava, and he changed his opinion. He decided to focus on the content instead. Come Rava, Peshitze the Abaye. Rava as well switched, and he adopted the view of Abaye, who meant to focus on the kli, on the container. Says the Gemara, now we have a contradiction. V'rami d'Abaye ad Abaye, v'rami d'Rava d'Rava, we have a contradiction. From Abaye here, to Abaye elsewhere, and the same thing regarding Rava. The Itmar, because we learned, ha-moitzi peris Yisra'abim, if one carries out peris into Yisra'abim, so he's standing in Yisra'ayachad, but he carries out Yisra'abim, Abaye omar b'yad chayiv. If he carries it in his hand, meaning He's still standing Shesayachid, but he reaches out with something in his hand in the Shesayachid. He is Chayiv, because the fact that his guf, his body, is still inside, that's irrelevant. We view the hand as an independent entity, and therefore it's considered as though it landed in Shesarabim, as if the Peiris landed in Shesarabim, he's Chayiv. Bikli Potter, but if he carries it out using a Kli, and the Kli is still partially inside, he is Potter, because the fact that the Kli is bound up within, Eged, Kli Shmei Eged, we need the entire Kli to be outside. V'rav Amar, just the opposite, B'yad Potter. If he's standing inside and extends his hand into Shesarabim, he's Potter, because the hand is not an independent entity. It's fully connected and related to his body, which is still inside. B'Kli Chayef. But if he should do so using a Kli, so if he carries a Kli outside, and the Kli is still partially in Shesayachid, he is Chayef, if the content of the Kli is outside. So apparently Rava in this case holds that we don't focus on the Kli, rather we focus on the content of the Kli. So this is a straight contradiction to the previous, those previous opinions, because earlier we just said that according to Abaye, Abaye holds that we focus on the content. Here Abaye tells us that if he carries out a Kli partially, he is Potter because we focus on the Kli. Rava says just the opposite. Here Rava says that if he carries out this Kli partially, he's Chai, we focus on the content. And earlier Rava says, we're meant to focus on the Kli itself. So that's more Eifich. Let's switch things around. We're meant to reverse things. And indeed, we'll change the latest Machlekes here in accordance with the previous version so that they are aligned with each other. Continues the Gemara. Okay, biyad chayev. So Abaye told us that if he's standing in Shesar Yochid and he carries out something using his hand, extending his hand in Shesar Avim, he's chayev because we view the yad as an independent entity, and therefore he did a malach of Eitzah by landing in a place in Shesar Avim. Says the Gemara, v'atnan, but haven't we learned way back on the Beis Amar Aleph and Masechas Shabbos, Pashat v'Abaye says, yad l'chutz, if the Abaye is standing inside, the homeowner extends his hand outside in Shesar Avim, and the poor man standing outside in Shesar Avim took something off the Baal Bayis' hand, or alternatively, the Ani placed something into the extended, outstretched hand of the Baal Bayis, and the Baal Bayis then was machnis that chayfetz im Shesar Yochid, shneim b'turin, they're both potter. Apparently, the fact that his hand is extended, outstretched in Shesar Avim is not regarded as being Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, if the Ani, for instance, puts something into his hand, and the Rabbis takes that item back in Rosh Hashanah, he didn't do any malacha, because he didn't do Akira from Rosh Hashanah. And likewise, in the case where he takes an item and carries out Rosh Hashanah, extends his hand in Rosh Hashanah, since he's standing in Rosh Hashanah, we don't regard that item as coming to rest in Rosh Hashanah. So this is a direct contradiction to Abaye, who tells us that if one stands in Rosh Hashanah and extends his hand in Rosh Hashanah, we don't follow his goof, we follow his hand. His hand is treated as an independent entity. And we look at the chayfetz as though it rested in Shesar Avim. Says the Gemara, Hasam l'malam migimel. The Mishnah there is speaking in a case where his hand is hovering over three tefachim, l'malam migimel, higher than three tefachim of the Shesar Avim. It's suspended mid-air. In that case, certainly, there's no halacha taking place. Hacha, however, in this case, where Abaye tells us that if one carries out something in his hand, so he's standing inside, but he merely extends his hand outward, he is chayev. Hacha l'mat magim, we're speaking about that his hand is within three tefachim of the ground, and therefore we apply the concept of lovet. Anything within three tefachim is considered to be closed up and connected. It's as though he placed the item down on Shesar Avim, and he is chayev. So in summary, we had two discussions: one regarding eged kli, and one regarding eged yad. Eged Kli means if the Kli is partially inside and partially outside, according to Yochanan, we follow the Kli. And Rav as well concurs with that Shita. According to Chizki, we focus on the content. So as long as the content is outside, that is sufficient. According to Abaye as well, we focus on the content. What about in a case where he's standing in one Rishus and extending his hand into a different Rishus? According to Rav, we say, well, Eged Yad Shmei Eged, the fact that his hand is connected to his body, which is found in Rosh Hashanah. His hand as well is treated as though it is Rosh Hashanah, According to Abaye, we separate his hand, we view his hand as an independent entity, and therefore when extending his hand in Shusarabim, if it is within three tefachim of the ground, he committed the Malach of Eitzah regardless of the fact that his body is still in Shusayachit. Continues the Mishnah. Hamoitzi, if one should carry out in any manner, ben bimina, whether using his right hand, ben bismoila, or whether in his left hand, b'soichekoi, in his bosom, oyal ksefav, or on his shoulders, chayav, shekein masa b'nekas. So all these are considered to be the usual manner of carrying bimina in his right hand, in his left hand. All these things are considered to be derech haitza, and on top of his, on his shoulder as well. Why is he chayav? By carrying something on his shoulder, shekein masa b'nei kohas, because this was the manner of the b'nei kohas, the Levim in the Mishkan, in the Midbar, who would carry the klei hamikdash in this manner on their shoulders. What about klacha yada, if he does it backhandedly, in an unusual manner, b'raglai, for instance, using his foot, b'fiv, in his mouth, b'marpekai, under his armpit, b'aznai, in his ear, b'sarai, in his hair, b'fundasai, upi alamata, he places something in his belt, for instance, a hollow belt, for instance, a money belt, with its mouth facing downward. That's not the ordinary derech of Eitzah. It's going to fall out. So this is considered to be unusual. If he places something between the belt and his cloak, he places something in the hem of his cloak, in his shoe, in his sandal, potter. He did something unusual. This is not the usual, the customary manner in which one carries something, and therefore he's potter. Omer b'lezer, ha-moitzi masui l'malam asar tefachim, chayav, if one carries an item, shesrabim, higher than tefachim, so he lifts an item off the ground, and there is a gap between the bottom of the item and the earth of shesrabim, and the ground, a distance of 10 tefachim between his chayav. Now, although we know that Shisarabim, the domain, the public domain, only extends up until 10 tefachim. In this case, we regard it as a melach of Eitzah. Why? The item is above 10 tefachim. Shekein masa b'nei kohas, because we find a similar concept in the Midbar, where the b'nei kohas, the Levim, would carry above 10 tefachim, and therefore, we know that Shabbos is learned from the Midbar, from the melach HaMishkan, and therefore, he is chayav. Says the Gemara, how do we know that took place there? Umasa b'nei kohas, Manolan, how do we know that that's the way they carried their load? The chsiv, because it says, ala mishkan v'al mezbeach saviv. So these are the sheets surrounding the mishkan. It is meant to provide a protection, ala mishkan v'al mezbeach saviv. The pasuk connects mishkan and mezbeach. Makish mezbeach, mishkan. We're meant to connect the two and derive one from the other. Ma Mishkan Yud Amos, just as we know that the Mishkan was 10 Amos high, Ach Mizbeach Yud Amos, likewise the Mizbeach was 10 Amos high. U Mishkan Gufi Minolan, how do we know that the Mishkan itself was 10 Amos high? The Chsiv, Eser Amos Erech HaKerish. So the Kerish, the beam, was 10 Amos long. So we know the Mishkan was 10 Amos high. We know the Mizbeach, which the Levim would carry bodily, was also 10 Amos tall. Now, how tall was the Levi? Uksiv Vayifer says, Oila Mishkan. He spread the covering on the Mishkan. Who was it? Bamarav Moshe Rabbeinu Perasai. It was Moshe Rabbeinu who did that. Now, apparently, from the fact that he was able to conveniently spread the spreading on this Mishkan, which was 10 Amos tall, apparently he himself was also 10 Amos tall. And we imply from there, we make a presumption. Mikana Talamed Goivin Shalavim. How tall were the other Levim as well? Eser Amos. So they were all 10 Amos tall. 10 Amos equals 60 Tvachim, because each Amos is 6 Tvachim. So a Levi was a 10 Amos tall, 60 Tvachim tall. Now let's assume that his shoulder height was 50 Tvachim. Okay? Now let's apply a tradition. Ugmir, we have a tradition. The call Tuna de Midli B'moites, any load, the Midli B'moites, which is carried using poles, it is carried in this custom, in this manner. Til Simulel, a third of the load is above shoulder level. And 2/3 of this load is carried below shoulder level. Now let's make a calculation. Ishtakach. If so, we can conclude Dava Midli Tuve, that the Mizbeach was lifted very significantly off the ground. It was 10 tefachim off the ground. Why? Because the Levi, his shoulder height was 50 tefachim off the ground. Now the Mizbeach, which was 10 amas, which is 60 tefachim, we just said that 1/3 of it was going to be carried above shoulder height. So a third of 60 is 20 tefachim. 20 tefachim above the 50 tefach mark, and the remainder below the 50 tefach mark. What is the remainder of the mizbeach? Two-thirds of the mizbeach is 40 tefachim. So the 40 tefachim are going to be hanging below shoulder level. Shoulder level is 50 tefachim. So if 40 tefachim are below shoulder level, that leaves us an additional 10 tefachim between the mizbeach and the ground. Apparently, the mizbeach was carried in this manner. It was hoisted off the ground. It was suspended 10 tefachim off the ground. And this indeed is the source of our halacha mentioned earlier. If one carries a chefetz in his hand, in Shusram, even above 10 tefachim, he is chayev, because this is similar to the manner in which they carried the mizbeach in the midbar. Says the Mavi Boyesema, perhaps you have another approach, as Rashi explains, because perhaps not necessarily were the Levim as tall as Moshe Rabbeinu, perhaps they were a bit shorter, and thus the Mizbeach was not really hoisted that much off the ground. So we have another Raya Mi Aron, from the way they carry the Aron. Damar Mar, we learned Aron Tisha, how tall was the Aron? It was 9 Tefachim high, Mekaber is Tefach, and its covering was a Tefach. Harikan Asar, so the Aron is 10 Tefachim high. Ugmiri, we have this tradition, this formula, they call tuna, any load, the middly bemoitis, which is carried using poles, tilsim el, will end up being a third above shoulder level, which way tilsim el ra, and two-thirds below shoulder level. So one carries something with his hands using poles, it's generally, we have this formula, that it was always done in this way, a third above shoulder level, and two-thirds below shoulder level. Now, let's make a calculation. Where was the aron situated? Ishtakach, we're going to conclude, the lamalam yudavakoy, that the urn was above 10 tefachim off the ground. Why? Because let's assume that the Levi was of average height. Rashi says his shoulders were 18 tefachim off the ground. Now, if he carried this urn using the poles with a third of the urn's height, the urn's height is 10, so a third of it is 3 1/3, and that is above shoulder level. Two-thirds of the urn, which is 6.6, let's say, which is below shoulder level is 18. Now, if the urn, which is 10, and only 6.6 of it is below shoulder level, that leaves us with plenty of space between the urn and the ground below. It's above 10 tefachim, and this indeed is a source that they would carry the urn, 10 tefachim off the ground, and therefore, if one carries something in this manner, on Shabbos is chayev. Says the Gemara, V'ligmer M'moshe. Why don't we learn from Moshe? Meaning, why don't we make that presumption that all the Levim were 10 amas high, and being a rife in the Mizbeach, as mentioned earlier, as the Gemara perhaps, Dilma Moshe, Shani Moshe was different. Damar Mar, because we learned that in Ashchina Shira, the Shechina only rests, Ella Al Chacham, wise man, Gibor, strong, the Usher, wealthy, Balkoima, and tall. Shita Mugbetsa says, this is in order to make a good impression, in order that his words are properly heeded to. Therefore, this is unique to Moshe, and not necessarily is applicable to everybody else. Continues the Gemara, Amar Rav, Meshur B'chia, Hamaitzi Matzui, B'Shabbas Al Roshay, if one carries a load on his head, on Shabbos Chayev Chatos, is considered to be Haitzah. Shekein, Anshei Hutzal, Oisinkein, because the population of this place called Hutzal carry loads in this manner. Says the Gemara, how do they determine what's called norm and what's not? Are they most of the world population? How can they determine what is normative, what isn't? Eli itmar hachi itmar. This is our momentum in the halacha. Amar Rav, Meshur B'chia, Echad mipnei Hutzal, Shoyitzi Masi al Reishim Shabbos Chayev. So we're speaking about a specific person who lives in this place called Hutzal. If he carries a load in this manner on his head, he's chayev. Shekein b'nei iroi oisin kein, because the people in a city carry loads in this manner, are considered to be normative for the people in this location. Says the Gemara, b'ti batel daitan tzokladam. Their das, their customs, their manner of doing things should be negated and nullified in view of the general consensus of the general population of the world. It's not considered to be derech haitzo. Ella, says the Gemara, rather, I itmar. If we learn the halacha hachi itmar, this is the proper version. Hamoitzi masi al roishoy pater. Anybody who carries load on his head is pater. Himtim tzalayma. If you're going to argue and say, well, an shehutzal oisin kein, in hutzal they do that. But ladaitin etzikol adam, their das becomes nullified, negated in view of the consensus. It is not considered to be derech haitzah, and even for them, it's considered to be shleik derech, not the usual manner of carrying something, and therefore they're pater. So in summary, learned that our Mishnah. If one carries out a object, which is Ravim, in a usual manner, in his hand, the right, left hand, in his bosom, is chayev, is considered to be the derech. Even on his shoulder is chayev. We learn that from the Levim in the Midbar, who would carry things on their shoulders. They would carry the Kleah Mishkan on their shoulders. What about if somebody carries something shleik derech, not in the usual manner, he's potter. The Gemara told us if one holds an object in his hand and lifts it above ten tefachim off the ground, which is Rabbim, and carries it in that manner, he's chayev. We have two sources, either from the Mizbeach, or, as the Gemara concluded, better we learn from the Arayin, which serves as a source of this halacha. If one carries an item on his head, he's potter. Even the Anshi Hutzel are potter because batla daton etzel kladim. Continues the Mishnah, Hameskaven loyti lefanav. If one had intended on carrying out an item hanging in front of him, ubala la'achrav, then it shifted locations and it transferred to behind him, potter is potter. Why? Let's take a look at Rashi inside. Rashi up on the first line, Hameskaven loyti lefanav, says Rashi Kikoy, for instance, Shetzorar mois v'sadinoi. He tied up money in his bundle. Kedei shiyutluin lefanav, so that it hang before him. Ubalei la'achrav, and it shifted, and it went behind him. Potter deloy niskaimu machshavtei, because his intention, his plan, did not come into fruition. V'alekim esasik v'lo miskaven. It's as though he was involved in doing something else, involved in doing one thing, and something else comes about. That is not considered to be miskaven, therefore he's potter. So once again, says the Mishnah, miskaven loy silafanav, ubal loy la'achrav, is shifted from before him to behind him. Potter, he's potter. La'achrav, ubal loy lefanav, what about in the reverse? He intended on having hang behind him, and then shifted, it came before him. In this case, he's chayev. The Gemara will explain the reason for this. Continues the Mishnah. Be'emes amru, this is an accepted halacha. Ha'isha chageres v'sinar, a woman who wraps herself with a sinar, this apron, on which she ties some items. Now, in this case, regardless of the location, bein melfaneh or bein melachreh, whether the item is hanging in front of her or behind her, it's irrelevant what her intention was. It's irrelevant where the item is exactly is located. Chayeves, she's chayev. Why? Shekein roi liyis chayzer, because it is customary, it is usual for the item hanging on her sinar to shift locations back and forth, and she knew initially that is what's going to take place, and therefore is considered to be a kiyum of her machshava, and she's chayev. Rabbi Doimer, the same halacha applies af mikam lepiskin, applies to the letter carriers. As Tosfos explains, they would tie the letters and to their belts, and it also would jump back and forth, shift locations, and therefore, regardless of where exactly it is, the person is chayev, because that is the usual manner of these letters. To shift from one side to the other is considered to be niskaima machshavta. Continues the Gemara. Maishna, what is the difference between the first case and the second case? Maishna lefonav ubala la'achar de potter. Why in the case where it began in front of him and shifted behind him is potter? The lo yisav machshavta, because his machshava was not fulfilled. In the next case as well, la'achrav, if it began behind him, ubala lefonav, and then shifted before him. Nami, in this case as well, his machshava, his plan, he intended on having it hang behind him. Then when it shifted before him, his machshava was not fulfilled. Says to Amar Balazar Tavar, indeed, this is a contradiction. Misha shanazu, loy shanazu. The Tana, who taught us the first halacha, did not agree with the second halacha. Misha shanazu, the author of the first halacha is not the same author. Loy shanazu, not the same author of the second halacha. Meaning, according to Balazar, there's a machlekes tanoim here. The Tanakhama will hold, the one that authored the first halacha in the Mishnah will hold, that any shift of location, regardless of whether it's front to back or back to front, he will be potter on. Going to the next Tana, who's the author of the second halacha, he will hold that a shift of location is irrelevant, regardless of whether it's front to back or back to front, he will be chayv. Amar Rava, umay kushya. Let's analyze your question. What was your kasha on the Mishnah? Dilma, perhaps, there's a big difference between case number one and case number two. Dilma lafan of ubala la'achrav, in the case where it began in front and ended up behind him, hayu tami de potter. This is the reason why he's exempt. Dinis gavin l'shmir ma'ula. He had intended on having this thing hanging before him in full view so that he could properly safeguard it. the Neskaven, the Shmira Me'ula, he intended on providing a Shmira Me'ula, a heightened level of safeguarding. Also B'yotai, what ended up happening? Shmira Pechusa. He only ended up, it ended up resulting in giving him only a lesser level of safeguarding. It's hanging behind him. That's not what he intended on doing, therefore he's potter. However, in the other case, when it began behind him and transferred before him, this is the reason why he's certainly chayim. He had intended on providing a lower level of safeguarding, merely hanging it behind him out of his full view. But it resulted in a much more heightened sense of level of shmir, of safeguarding. It's sitting before him. Certainly in this case, it's considered to be a fulfillment of his intention, of his kavanah, and he's chayim. So your kasha to begin with can be answered very simply. There's a big difference between one case and the other. Ella my kushya. Rather, what then is the kasha on the Mishnah? The yukud of masis in kasha. The inference, the diuk, the implication of the words of the Mishnah will be difficult. Why? The Mishnah begins by saying, "I'm a skavel oizilafonav ubala laachrof potter." If he hung something in front of him and it slipped behind him, he's potter. We have a diuk, an implication, an inference from here. Ha laachrof. However, in the case where he hung it behind him, ubala laachrof, and it remained behind him. Chayiv. Certainly, in this case, he's chayiv. So, although it's not really in a such a secure location, it's behind him. Nevertheless, he's chayiv because it didn't change locations. He put it there and it remained there. So this is a diuk from the first part of the Mishnah. Now let's proceed. Eima seifa. Let's proceed to the next part of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, when is he going to be chayiv? La'achrov, if he places it behind him, u'baloi lefanav hu dechayiv. In the case where he places it behind him and it slipped before him, then he's chayiv. Ha, apparently, la'achrov u'baloi la'achrov pater. If he should place it behind him and it would remain there, he would be potter because it's not really in a secure location. It's not considered to be derech hayitzah. Therefore, he's potter. So you have a stira from the first part of the Mishnah, which seems to imply that a case where he places it behind him and it hasn't remained there, he will be chayev. Whereas in the sefer of the Mishnah, we have an implication, a diuk, which teaches us that only in a case where he places it behind him and it moves in front of him, it shifts lefanav. But in the case where it remained behind him, he would be potter, because otherwise, why does the Mishnah teach us a greater chiddush? That not only in the case where it shifts before him, even in the case where it remained behind him, he's chayiv. The Mishnah should have told us that halacha, rather than the halacha of the halacha of la'achrav, of al-lefanav. So apparently the fact that the Mishnah ignores this halacha, the Mishnah doesn't mention that if it should remain behind him, if he would have placed it behind him and remained behind him, he would be chayiv. Apparently, the sefer of the Mishnah holds, he'll be potter in that case. Amar Elazar, Tavra, indeed, this is a contradiction. Mishishanazu, the Tana, which teaches us the first part of the Mishnah, which implies that when he places something behind him and it hasn't remained there, he would be chayiv, is in disagreement with the second portion of the Mishnah. Mishishanazu, the Tana of the first portion of the Mishnah, Loishanazu, he is not the same Tana who teaches us the second portion of the Mishnah, who holds that in this case he'll be potter. Amar Ravashi, my kushya, what was your kasha to begin with? There's no contradiction at all. Dilma lo mibayu kamar. The sefer of the Mishnah, which does not mention this case, it's because it's needless. It's needless to say. It's not a novelty. Lo mibayu kamar. The Mishnah means to say as follows. There's no need to speak about this case. Certainly in that case where he places it behind him and it remained there, certainly he's chayiv, because his intention was fulfilled. The Mishnah needs to teach us the case where he placed it behind him and it shifted, it came lefanav. There is a chiddush. That's a novelty. Why? Perhaps I would say, since his intention was not fulfilled, he placed it behind him and it shifted location that came before him. The Mishnah teaches us that's not the case. Because here, he placed it behind him, which was a less than secure location. In the case where he had intended on placing the item in a location where the security was of a lower level, but also by Yodei Shmira Me'ula, and it ended up providing a greater Shmira. Chayiv, certainly this case is Chayiv. Therefore, the Mishnah tells us that even in the case where the location has changed, it began behind him and is transferred to before him, he'd be chayiv, even though there was a change of locations, a transfer. Nevertheless, that is considered to be a kiyum of his machshava because the security was improved by having the item shift before him. But certainly, says Ravashi, all agree that if he had tied the item behind him and it remained in that location, of course he's chayiv. The reason why the Mishnah didn't touch that case, didn't discuss that case, that's pasha, that's not a novelty. Certainly he's chayiv, why not? He put it there and it remained there. Continues the Gemara. Ula'achar v'bala la'achar, this case of having something placed behind him and having it remain there, whether or not he's chayiv is tanoi, is actually a machlok is tanoim. Because there's a svara to say that if somebody placed something behind him in an insecure location, perhaps that's not considered to be derech haitzah on his potter. Let's see. The sani is related in the following bais. Hamoitzi mois v'pundasoi. Important carries out money in his money belt, opil l'mala, with its mouth facing upward. It's secure, it's proper. Chayav, he's chayav. Peel l'mata. What if the mouth is facing downward? Rabbi Yudah m'chayav v'chachomim poitum. Amal Rabbi Yudah began a debate. Iyata moidim. Do you not agree? But la'achrov abad la'achav shuchayav. If a person hangs something behind him and it remains there, he's chayav, even though it's an insecure location. Here as well, in this money pouch, with its mouth overturned, even though it's not really so secure, he should be chayev. V'amrloi, they responded, V'yatamoy, did you not agree? Kil acha yodei v'ragla shupotve, if a person carries out in an unusual manner, using the back of his hand, using his foot, he's potter. Here as well, this overturned money belt is considered to be shalai kederech, and therefore he's potter. Amr v'yida, ani amati davar echad, I presented one argument, v'hein amr davar echad, they responded in kind. I couldn't find a proper response to their argument. And they couldn't find a proper response to my argument. Okay, continue Zigmar. Let's analyze these words. The fact that Yudah tells the Chachamim, do you not agree that in the case where it began la'achrav and remained la'achrav, do you not agree that it's chayiv? Apparently, Lav Mechlal, the Rabbanan Patri, the Patri Rabbanan. Apparently the Chacham disagree. It's only Rabbi Yehuda maintains that La'achrav, Ubala La'achrav is Chayiv. Apparently the Rabbanan disagree. So the Machlaik is Tanai. Says the Gemara of the Tamech. Now according to your version, according to your approach, the Ka'amrilay, the fact that they respond to him, Iyatamoide, do you not agree that if he carries something Kla'achar Yad using the back of his hand, using his foot, he's Potter, Mechlal the Machayiv, is there a Hadik from here? That apparently Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's chayiv. You can't say that. Mechlad mechayiv Rabbi Yehuda. V'atanya, haven't we learned? La'achar yodei v'ragla divar kol potter. All agree that if he uses the back of his hand, uses his foot, he's potter. So apparently, the fact that the Rabbanan challenged him using this halacha, there's no implication from there that Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that. Ella rather says the Gemara, la'achrav ubala la'achrav divar kol chayiv. All agree that he's chayiv in the case where he places something behind him and it remains there. If he does it backhandedly or uses his foot, all agree that he's potter. So there's no difference of opinion regarding the cases mentioned by Yehuda and the Chachamim. Keep thinking, when then is a disagreement? In this specific case where the pouch, the money belt is overturned, its mouth is facing downward. The question is, what are we going to equate this to? Mar, Rabbi Yehuda medamilei la'achav v'ala la'achav. Rabbi Yehuda equates this to the case of a person hanging something behind him in an insecure location and it remained there. Certainly he's chayiv. Rabbi Yehuda says, likewise, in our case of the overturned money belt, he's chayiv, even though it's not really secure a location, he's chayiv. Umar medamilei, however, the Chachamim compare the case of the overturned money belt, la'achayod v'ragla, ragloi, like the case of la'achayod v'ragloi, where it's not considered to be derech haitzah, here as well, the money is going to fall out. It's not the usual manner for carrying money. And therefore, he is potter. Rabbi Yehuda, however, holds that, just like placing something behind him, which is insecure from thieves, nevertheless, he is considered to be derech haitzah and is chayiv. Here as well, in this overturned pouch, it's considered to be derech haitzah and is chayiv. Continues the Gemara. Be'emes amru isha tana, we looked at the Braisa, called be'emes halachi, whenever we have the term emes, it's considered to be undisputed halach. Rabbi Yehuda says that the letter carriers they are chayiv regardless of the location of their of this letter, since it's meant to shift locations. Tana, we looked at Rabbi Sasha Kane, Lavler, and Malchus, the letter writers of the king Isen Kane, were carrying this manner, so it shifts back and forth, and it's irrelevant where it's to be found, since it is the derech of this letter to shift from one location to the other is considered to be the derech of the Yitzah and the kiyam of his machsham. So in conclusion, we learned that if a person hangs something lefanav and bolel la'achrov, it slipped behind him, he's pater. There are two exceptions, with the isha who ties something to her apron and the letter rise of the king. What about if he ties something behind him and it slipped before him? Certainly in this case it's chayev. What about the case where he tied it behind him and it remained there? The Gemara concludes that all agree it's chayev. There's machlokes in the case where a person puts something in his money belt with its mouth facing downward. Rita says it's chayev, although it's insecure. He says it's chayev, just like the case of a person tying something behind him. The Chum say, he's pater. It's considered to be like kelachayodav raglei shloi kederach, and he's pater. Continues the Mishnah, ha-moitzi kikel shesarabim, if an individual on his own carries out a loaf of bread into shesarabim, chayev. What about ha-tziyu shnayim? If two people join together, Reuven and Shimon both carry out a single loaf into shesarabim, peturin they're pater. Why? Let's take a look at Rashi. Rashi here is 28 lines from the bottom, beginning with the word masnisen. Says Rashi, "Haytziu shnayim p'turin kedi alfinan." As we learn from the pasuk ba'asoisa, yachid v'leshnayim. The pasuk teaches us there's only a chiyuv when an individual on his own will perform the malacha. But if two people join forces and do the malacha together, they are pater. Okay, let's go back to the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, lo yochel echad loyitziyai. What about if we have a case where the Reuven on his own is not capable of carrying this loaf, it's too big, it's too heavy, v'yitziyu shnayim, and two people join forces together to carry it out, chayav, in this case, certainly the chayav, Reb Shimon Poiter, even in this case, he holds, they are pot. Amar v'yuda, amarav, v'amri lo samse, amarabai, v'amri lo samse, masnisatan, v'lo tenabais. We have a three-way machlokes. The first case is Ze Yochel V'Ze Yochel. What about if Reuben and Shimon are both fully capable of doing this malach, of carrying out this item, but they opt to join forces to do it together? Rav Meir Mechayev, Rav Meir says, even in this case, they're Chayev. As Rashi says, he doesn't use the word of Ba'asoysa, the drush of Ba'asoysa, for this purpose, and therefore he holds, even if two people join together to the malacha, they're Chayev. Continues the Ba'asoysa. Rab Yuda, Rab Shimon Paitre, they hold that these people are potter, since they joined together unnecessarily. Each one on his own was fully capable of doing this malacha. They joined together, and therefore they're potter. What about in the next case? Ze Eini Yachal, V'ze Eini Yachal. So both individuals are not capable of doing the malacha independently. Reuven and Shimon both can carry out this heavy item in Shusarabim, and they joined forces and did the malacha together. In this case, we have a shift. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Mechayim. So not only is Rabbi Meir Mechayim, Rabbi Yehuda also agrees that he's Chayim, that they're both Chayim. Why? Because it's considered to be Urche de Derech. If it's too large, too heavy for one person and two people, certainly are meant to do it together. Therefore, he holds that they are Chayim. Rabbi Shimon Pait, even in this case, Rabbi Shimon says they are Pat. So up until this point in the Gemara, we have two cases where Rabbi Shimon says Pat all the way, Rabbi Meir says chayv all the way, Rabbi Yehuda says it depends. If these two people, these two individuals are capable of doing it on their own, then if they join forces, they're pater. If they're incapable of doing it on their own, they join forces, they're chayv. A third case, ze yachal. So if Reuven is fully capable, ze yachal, and Shimon is not capable, chayv all agree, then in this case is chayv, it's referring to the person that's capable. We disregard the other person. Tanya nami yachi. We find this in the Braisa as well. Hamoitzi kiklish shesarabim chayiv. If one carries out a loaf on his own, it's chayiv. Hoitziu shnayim. If two people do it, Rav Meir chayiv. Because Rav Meir holds two people do a malacha together, they're chayiv. Rav Yehuda Omer, it depends. Im lo yochad ech lo yitziu. If one person on his own was incapable of doing it, v'yitziu shnayim, and he needed his friend to help him, so both together joined forces. Each one on his own was incapable. They joined forces and together they did it. Chayav, and then they're chayav. Vim lav, but otherwise, p'tur. Rav Shimon, p'tur. Rav Shimon says, in all cases, they are pater. So in summary, if we have a case of zeyachol v'zeyachol, each one on his own is fully capable, according to Rameyer, Rameyer holds all cases are chayv. Rabbi Yehuda says, in this case, they are pater. Rabbi Shimon as well says, pater. What about if they're both incapable? Zein yachol v'zein yachol, and they need each other. Once again, Rameyer says, chayv. Rabbi Yehuda agrees in this case that they are chayv. Rabbi Shimon holds, even in this case, they are pater. What about if Reuven is capable? Zein yachol v'zein yachol, Shimon is incapable. Rameyer once again says, chayv. Rabbi Yehuda says, chayv. And Rabbi Shimon says, chayv. The Gemara later will explain that it is actually the one that is capable. It is Reuven, who is the yachol, who will be liable. We ignore, we disregard the second individual who is incapable and doesn't really play a role in this Melachas Haitzah. He's merely assisting, he's helping, and as the Gemara later will explain, is not reckoned. And only the one who is fully capable is chayv. Okay, time for a brief chazara, a brief review of today's daf. We began with the discussion of a kli which is partially in Shesurabim and partially in Shesayachid, or a person who has his hand extended in Shesurabim and he's standing in Shesayachid. Do we say that we regard the kli which is partially inside or the hand which is connected to a person who is inside as though it is also is considered to be inside or not? We have a machlokes, Chizkiya and Rabbi Yochanan regarding the kli, Abaye v'Rava regarding the kli and also regarding the hand. We proceeded with the Mishnah, which discussed various forms of Eitzah. There is the standard manner of carrying, Biminoi, Besmoili, Becheikoi, where is Chayev. That's considered to be Gederach. Even on one's shoulder is Chayev. In accordance with the Mas of Nekahas, we derive from the Levim, who would carry the Kleam Mishkan in that manner in the Midbar. What if he does it Shloi Gederach? He carries something in an unusual manner. He's Pater. The Gemara told us, even if one carries an item in his hand above 10 tefachim off Rosh Hashanah, he's chayev. The Gemara concluded, we learned either from the Mizbeach, or better yet, from the Arayin, which was lifted 10 tefachim off the ground. If one carries a load on his head, he's pater. Even the Anshi Utsal, who are accustomed to doing so, are pater because batla datin, says Kol Adam, their mind, their das, their manner of doing things is nullified, is negated, in view of the general consensus of the general population, is not considered to be derech haitzah. The Mishnah told us that if he carries something lefanim and it slipped behind him, he's pater. There are two exceptions according to Tanakama. We have the case of the Isha, who's chaygeres besinar. In that case, even if it slips behind her, she's pater, she's chayav. We have Rabbi Yehuda, who adds the case of the letter carriers. What about if he hung it behind him and it came before him? So he's chayav. If he hung it behind him and remained there, he's also chayav. What if someone carries money in an overturned money belt? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's chayav, even though it's not really so secure, he's still chayav. According to Chachamim, it's considered shloi kederech, and he's pater. And finally, we have a three-way machlekes regarding joining forces when it comes to doing a malacha. We have three cases. Zeh yachol v'zeh yachol, if Reuven and Shimon are both independently capable of doing this malacha, and they decide to join forces. According to Rabbi Meir, they're chayav. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they're pater. According to Rabbi Shimon, pater as well. What if we have Ze'ena Yachal, Ze'ena Yachal, Reuven and Shimon are both incapable of doing it independently and they decide to join forces to accomplish the Melacha, Kontra Rameh, they're Chayiv. Kontra Yuda, they're Chayiv as well. Kontra Shimon, even in this case, they're Pater. And finally, Ze'ena Yachal, if Reuven is fully capable of doing the Melacha independently, Ze'ena Yachal, and Shimon joins him, but he's incapable of doing it on his own, Kontra Rameh, Reuven is Chayiv. Kontra Yuda, and of Shimon as well, Reuven will be Chayiv, and Shimon will be Pater.